Welcome to another episode of the Geek Legacy Lounge. My name is Steven, and today's episode is all about San Diego Comic-Con. One of the biggest conventions is right around the corner, and today we're going to hear some survival tips from Megan Gotch, who you might recognize online as the Nerdy Girly. She is a regular attendee at San Diego Comic-Con. The Nerdy Girly shares her firsthand experience with the convention, such as how to plan your day, how to hit all the panels that you want to see, and then some. Some free alternatives around the San Diego area if you weren't able to score a pass, and how you can enjoy the limelight anyway, and more. We're also going to get the chance to hear some of her favorite memories, and as well as what started the Nerdy Girly and her first Comic-Con experience. Here in the Geek Legacy Lounge, please welcome Megan Gotch, also known as the Nerdy Girly. All right, so let's start from the beginning. You've got thenerdygirly.com. You do a lot of stuff in regards to Comic-Con. Tell me where this, I guess, love for the craziest convention in the world came about.
I actually didn't know about Comic-Con until 2009 when I moved to San Diego and my husband was able to get us free passes. I'm like, sure, let's try it out. Let's see what it's about. And then as soon as I got there, I was like, wow, this is the place that I've been dreaming about. It was so awesome. And so I've been going every year since 2009. And in 2012 is when I started the Nerdy Girly blog.
So you literally had no idea what it was. You showed up and then you've created this kind of culture just by that one free appearance.
Well, I went 4 years before I actually thought that I could start a blog about it.
Okay.
So 2009 was the first year, 2012 is when I actually started the blog.
Okay, still, it's super impressive. Just based on the material on your website, Twitter, and everything else that you go on, I figured you would have been somebody who's been, you know, to every Comic-Con conceivably possible. It's quite fascinating, really.
Oh, thank you.
So, talking about... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, nope, since 2009, that was my first time.
So... with cosplay, you do a really interesting feature called Everyday Cosplay. Give me the kind of intro behind that. Did that start around the same time? Was that before, after? What's the deal with that?
Yeah, that was around the same time that I started the blog. I'd seen a lot of cosplay at Comic-Con and a lot of good cosplay at Comic-Con, but this Everyday Cosplay was just a way for me to slowly get into doing cosplay myself. And one day I was like, I think I want to dress like the doctor today. And so I went into my own closet. I had everything that I needed, maybe one thing I didn't have. And I was able to pull together an outfit that I could wear just in everyday life and feel like I was representing my nerdy side.
And for me, going through most of the different options you have up on the Everyday Cosplay, I mean, your price ranges are anywhere between relatively cheap and roughly about $100 or so, which considering how much people put into cosplay on a regular basis, that still is inexpensive.
Yeah, I try to do Forever 21, H&M, Old Navy, like cheaper places. And then my shoes are usually what jacks up the price because I really like shoes. But I've also just recently for this Comic-Con went to the Goodwill and got my entire cosplay for one day for $16,
that's,
the whole outfit.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, so I was like, I think the Goodwill is like my new go-to place for cosplay stuff. And it all was brand new. Like the pants were from Gap. They were $5. They were brand new. And I was just like, wow, this place is amazing. And everything's color-coded. So you're like, oh, I need a blue shirt. Right there, right over to the blue shirts. All the jeans are together, all the khaki pants. It's amazing.
Now, do you look at all this stuff, you know, like you said, look at the shoes, the jackets, and say, hey, that would be a great outfit for insert character here and kind of build off of there? Or is it just, you know, like, I feel like dressing up like this guy today or this person today, whoever it may be?
Mm-hmm. Usually I pick a character first and then I find a couple different versions of the outfit and then I go from there. I'll go on to Forever 21, search the site, and I have ideas in my head already, and then I just pick stuff from websites.
Often you see people taking your ideas from your Everyday Cosplay just out in the street, like, oh, hey, I came up with that, and that's kind of cool.
I haven't yet, but hopefully at Comic-Con I will. But actually, a few people have tweeted me their outfits before, too. So that was really cool.
And what's that? Well, you already kind of described it, but just explain a little bit more what that feeling is like, just seeing people, you know, take your ideas and, you know, expand on them. And just like, you know, like I said, you're kind of creating what these guys are doing, these guys or gals. I keep saying guys and there's more than just one. But what is that feeling like just seeing people dress up, you know, with your ideas that you came up with?
It's exactly why I started doing the blog. I wanted to be able to help people have a fun time at Comic-Con and show them different ways to have fun at Comic-Con. So it's just, it's really nice to see because this is exactly why I started doing the blog.
Now, going back to your blog, you probably have one of the most active, creative minds I have ever seen on their interwebs. Just because, aww, in addition to the cosplay, you have these nerd crafts. Tell me a little bit about the idea on what these are. I mean, you have do-it-yourself collages. You have tea parties for Sherlock and all kinds of other stuff. Just tell me a little bit about those as well.
Okay, probably started with, I used to work at a preschool. We have a summer break, and my boss was like, I think we need something fun for the kids to keep them busy during summer. And so I thought of the lightsabers that are made out of foam. And so she went to the dollar store, she got a bunch of the lightsabers, and then I decorated the bottoms with all different bottoms for the handles. And so that was the first one that I did. And then from there, it's just things that I like doing. All the buttons I get from Comic-Con, I wanted to be able to show them and display them in my house. And so I made a little button craft that you could hang in your house. And then when the holidays come around, me and my brother did a gingerbread TARDIS. And like premieres come around or finales of shows, I'm like, oh, let's have a party or do something fun for that. And so I try and get something together that people could do easily.
Now, you mentioned a gingerbread TARDIS, and going through your website for about 5 minutes, it's easy to decide that you're a pretty big fan of Doctor Who, correct?
Yes.
Point blank, just like that. Your first memories with the show, because the first couple episodes I watched, it really struck to me just because it was, you know, more than it really presented itself. Just like the TARDIS, where you look on the outside, it's like, okay, whatever. You go on the inside, like, okay, cool. This is something a little bit different. It was a TV show that was, you know, just, I don't really know how to describe it. It was just so much bigger than it really presented itself. What was that first reaction like for you?
I actually didn't start watching the show until, I think, okay, so last year was the 50th. It was the year before that. In November, I started watching. I watched the whole entire series. It was kind of still in the beginning, and then it was just like, as soon as I got to David Tennant, I was like, okay, yeah, this is my show. And I watched all of it. And then when you're at Comic-Con with it, you can just see how much bigger the show actually it is. Besides watching it by yourself in your house, you get to see everybody dressed up. You get to talk to people about the episodes. And they have so many fan events there. And it's really amazing to see just how big it actually is when you're in a little bubble watching it.
It's easily the most, in my mind, popular cosplay to do just because there's so many different doctors to choose from. There's so many different companions to choose from. I mean, there's so many different characters from one show, and realistically, it's all the same character, but just different iterations from, you know, one generation to the next. It's so interesting to see, I think.
I love it. And I just went to England over Christmas, and we took a special day trip to Cardiff so we could go to their Doctor Who experience. That was like my one thing that I had to do for sure when I was over there. And I actually didn't see a lot of Doctor Who stuff there. But when we went to Cardiff, it was all Doctor Who. It was really awesome.
Interesting. So what sparked you to do that? Just because you wanted to go to England to see that specifically? Or just like, yeah, well, we're there. Might as well, right?
No, when I knew that we were going to England, I was like, that's one of the main things that I have to do. Besides seeing all the Sherlock stuff, I wanted to see as much Doctor Who stuff as I could.
Very nice. So again, with Comic-Con slowly coming up around the corner, let's talk about that just a little bit. You mentioned how you first got interested in the convention itself and how you've kind of, you know, evolved into this blog and everything else that's going with it. What's the, you know, most simplistic idea that people who are going to Comic-Con for the very first time, any advice, you know, what they should do, what they shouldn't do, whether they're attending just on the show floor? I mean, just let's start from the beginning. Do you have some advice for those that are attending for the very first time? Because I imagine a lot of our listeners are attending for the very first time this coming year.
Okay, very first time, you need to just slow down and expect not to see everything that you want to see. Comic-Con is crazy, and there's a ton of people there. There's going to be so much stuff that you want to do, you're not going to be able to see all of it. So make your plan, and then make a backup plan and another backup plan. And there's so much stuff to do outside the convention center. I think a lot of new people going to the con don't realize it. My first 2 years at Comic-Con, I never left the convention center. And on the third year, I left the convention center, and it just opened up a whole other world. It's so amazing out there. There's so many fun things to do, and that's where all the celebrities are, just walking around if you want to try and bump into somebody.
That's a really good point, because last Comic-Con, 2013, was actually the first time I ever attended. And, you know, I had just as much fun, if not more, at the free parties later in the evening, not at Comic-Con, than I did at the actual convention. And that's something, like you said, a lot of people don't know about, which is kind of a shame, because there's a lot of really cool stuff going on around there.
There is so much stuff. And like you said, inside the convention center and sitting in the ballroom all day, it's kind of, it makes for a long day. And so just getting out and being able, and you can't really talk inside the panels. I mean, you could probably like chat quietly with people, but like you get outside the convention, and that's where all your friends are. That's where all the parties are. That's where all the experiences. That's Comic-Con to me.
And, you know, like I said, last year, you know, one of the big things that I remember attending was Nerd HQ, held on by the Nerd Machine. That was a lot of fun getting to see celebrities kind of just walk in. It's like, oh, cool. These guys are standing in line waiting for a drink the same way I am. You know, like you said, it's a really cool experience that not a lot of people might not know about. Are there any other free places that you really enjoyed or that you're really looking forward to?
Free, Geek & Sundry has a free.
Another great one.
Thing that they're doing. Nintendo has their free whole experience. I know the Children's Museum has done stuff before. That's, I think it's free. I'm not totally sure. And there's the boat out behind Comic-Con that you can go on and just walk around the outside of the convention. Just go into the guest lounge and you will see stuff just popping up everywhere.
I believe
but those are my favorite.
That boat was Ubisoft for Assassin's Creed last year, correct?
Yes, and this year I think it's going to be Game of Thrones.
Oh, even better. Dragons.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like who doesn't like that? So
I am.
It's so, like I said, it's such a great experience overall. I'm really glad you're sharing all this stuff as well, just because, like I said, all the free stuff around is, you know, still accessible for those who don't have badges for Comic-Con, which is, again, is another misconception that a lot of people kind of miss out on, whatever have you. So let's go back to the actual convention show floor. Again, you talked about, you know, the slow down, you know, not expect to see things on, you know, the very first day. Do you normally set a game plan as far as how you're going to track to all the different panels that you want to see? How do you go about, you know, spreading your day around?
Oh, yes. As soon as the schedule comes out, every single day I try and map it out with all the things that I want to do, and then I'll have a backup plan if I don't get to do those things. But I definitely have a schedule set. I've already started a schedule already of things that I want to do, even though the official schedule hasn't come out yet. So I like to have everything written out, and so I can see it, the times, the places. And I think that's a really good place to start.
And one thing I would personally also recommend, and you can either say yay or nay to it, is preview night. That's something that I did last year, and it was really great being able to go on the show floor and kind of take my time and see all those different things that I wanted to see without having to say, like, oh, I really want to get down there to buy this and rush up there to this panel, blah, blah, blah. You know, is that something that people can count on, do you think, for their planning, or do you think they should just skip that? How do you feel about it?
The first couple of years, I was preview night was really good. I really liked it. Last year was really hard. It got really, really crowded, I thought, and it was hard. I don't think I waited in line at the BBC booth. I tried and get some stuff, and I couldn't do that, and so it just felt really, really crowded to me. But I guess if you could stay on the outskirts and see like Artist Alley, see the gaming stations on the outside, all the middle stuff is going to be super, super jam-packed. So, I mean, but preview night, you can also take your time. You have a bunch of hours there. And so, but that's what everybody's going to do. During the other days, there's the panels And so that takes away from people being on the floor. So I think Gatsby Night is the most busiest day because there isn't any panel to take away from all of the people who are wanting to see everything.
See, I'm glad I asked that because I would usually recommend to people to go to preview night because, oh, yeah, no one else is there. You know, it's kind of inclusive, but I'm glad you're saying that because complete opposite, and I trust your opinion more than I trust my own. So very good. Now, the biggest thing with Comic-Con, I think the biggest logjam is travel and just arrangements for that entire week. Again, share your insight, share your expertise. You know, what's the best way to just get around the town of San Diego during this busy week?
If you're lucky enough to be staying in the gas lamp, everything is in the gas lamp. You can walk everywhere. It's really, I think that the gas lamp is really walkable. It's really close to the convention center. But if you are not close to the convention center, if you're out in East County, you can take the trolley. The trolley is really a really great thing that you could utilize. You can even park at the Fashion Valley Mall and then take the trolley from there if you're staying out in that area. So I would recommend the trolley or just walking, because I drive in and have a parking pass, and so I just park under the convention center all day, and if I need to go down to my car, I can drop stuff down there, but usually I'm walking the entire time.
That was probably the best advice I received last year for Comic-Con, was not driving, you know, within a mile range of the convention center and parking elsewhere and then taking a shuttle or a trolley, like you said, just because it saves so much time, and all in all, it was a lot cheaper too. Which was a big thing.
We do not drive through the gas lamp at all. We have a way that we come through the back and just go right into the convention center. There's usually no traffic there or at the Hilton Bayfront is where we usually park, and so we just park a car early in the morning and we don't leave until way late at night.
Absolutely brilliant. And especially with the streets and the way it's laid out over there, it's so hectic to try to get anywhere, you know, far away, really.
Yeah, if you're trying to drive through a glass lamp, it's horrible.
Very good. Now, I want to talk about what you want to see at this year's Comic-Con. The panels, just anything that's rumored out there. If there's one specific announcement, obviously we don't know what the schedule is, but if there was one specific announcement that you heard was going to be at Comic-Con that you would freak out over, what would it be?
I am really excited that Community is going to be back, because we were really thinking that it was going to be canceled forever, and they're actually going to be back and for their sixth season on Yahoo TV, and so their panel is going to happen on Thursday in Ballroom 20. And so I'm really excited to see that one.
That's one of those shows that just will not go away, but I'm okay with it. And it's so great.
Yeah, I know, me too.
So great. Yeah, I mean, it's just got that great humor that hits on every single note. You know, it's not really completely dry or completely sarcastic, but it's just enough to where a lot of people can pick up on it. And like you said, for Yahoo TV to pick it up for their sixth season and hopefully the movie that they've been touting about for so long, it's just so great to hear that.
I know, and I think that they're going to be able to do like that fix fest and put the whole thing out at one time so you can binge watch it.
Which really is the new trend nowadays, because, you know, like with a show of Game of Thrones or even The Walking Dead, you know, some of the more popular TV shows out there, you watch it, you wait a week, you watch it, you wait another week, and then, oh, I got another 6-8 months for the next season to come in. Do you prefer do you prefer that suspense from a week-to-week basis, or do you prefer just to binge watch everything at once and then move on?
I am really in a binge-watching mood. Since I moved to L.A., I canceled our cable, and so I've been just on Netflix, Hulu, Amazon. I'll pick a show, I'll watch it all the way through, and then I'll be done. And I really, really like doing that. And there's so much content on these sites that I don't even miss having cable.
I have to completely agree with you. I haven't had cable for the last 4 years and have pretty much been surviving off of, like you said, Netflix, Hulu, and even Amazon. And just, you know, everything you need is right there. It's much more convenient.
Yeah, and if you do want the other shows, there's always iTunes.
Is there anything else at Comic-Con that you're really excited to look forward to?
I'm really excited to meet people and see people that I've talked to on Twitter for a year now and be able to see them in real life and talk to them and just hanging out. I'm really excited about that.
Has that moment kind of hit you yet, that you're this internet celebrity amongst this community? Just, you know, people coming up to you and saying, oh, hey, I've been following you for years. And your reaction just kind of like, like, I wouldn't know how to react in that. Granted, I don't have as many fans, so I still have a ways to go in that regard. But how does that make you feel, honestly?
It doesn't feel real. Last year was the first year that people actually recognized me. And it was kind of like, oh, wow. Because when you're blogging alone by yourself in a room, and that's it. And so you're kind of like in a little bubble. And then when you get to go to convention, some people know who you are. And it's really nice to know that there are people out there who enjoy what you love doing. And it's really nice to be able to talk to them about things that you both love.
That's a great concept, because I always suspected that, you know, bloggers before internet was as big as it is right now, they had pictures and all that stuff, but they didn't have as much of a profile or a, you know, social appearance as we do nowadays. I mean, we have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google+, just to name a few. It's hard mm-hmm. not to recognize somebody nowadays.
Yeah, that is true. I'm all over the place, I guess.
Well, in a good way, of course. You have to.
I'm trying to be, I guess. It's hard, though.
You have to be all over the place, otherwise you're falling behind. But, I mean, having all these different social sites, it allows you to connect with so many people, like you talked about, you know, mm-hmm. expand to a completely different audience. I think it's a great time. I really do.
Yeah, me too. And that's why I started it, because in real life, it's hard to find people who like the same things as you. But then you go on Twitter and everybody, you can find anybody, and you can find them in your own hometown, too. So it's really nice.
So when are you going to have your own panel at Comic-Con?
I don't know, but I am trying to do a female geek blogger meetup, because they have a G+ group for just female geek bloggers. And so we share our content, we talk to each other, we encourage each other. So I really hope that I'm going to be able to meet up with all of those girls that I've made friends with. So that I'm going to try and do on Thursday night after the con ends.
That's really great to hear. I was at the most recent E3 just about a month ago, I think, at this point. And I got to say, I was surprised at how many, you know, females there were just in general. It's like, wow, this used to be a guys club and now we're being outnumbered. But it's a great thing to see, because we're getting away from that. What's the word I'm looking for? You're getting away from that stereotype of, you know, the guys that live in the basement, don't have much of a life. They're the ones that this stuff caters to. It's not just them anymore. It really isn't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I've been really lucky that a lot of the geek guys out there on Twitter have been really supportive and really great. And I haven't met one bad guy yet. They've all been really great.
Knocking on wood for you. I really am. Just because it's a really diverse community. I mean, you can find some really interesting people in this world.
Yeah.
But either way, that's great to hear. So aside from Comic-Con, you know, waiting for this convention to come out, obviously it's a huge thing to do in the summer and a big thing to look forward to. What do you do during the downtime when there is no Comic-Con planning? You know, let's say, what are you doing in August or September?
I've been doing a lot of going to a lot of concerts.
All right.
I love going to concerts. That is second to Comic-Con. That is my favorite thing to do.
So let's say in the last 8 months, what's the one concert you've had the most fun at?
A silent film.
Silent film. Okay.
They are getting ready to go on tour, hopefully, and this fall. So I've been saying that their next tour is going to be like my second Comic-Con.
All right, that's something.
How I feel about them is how I feel about Comic-Con.
So it's safe to say that you really, really like England, right?
Yes, and they are also from England.
That's why I brought that up. I actually recognize the name. Oddly enough, it's like I said, safe to say you really enjoy the English culture and all that.
I do, and I guess I thought that it started with Comic-Con, but I started reading Harry Potter again, and I'm like, okay, I've watched Harry Potter for a long time, and then I just saw a tweet today that the Spice Girls released their song like 18 years ago or something. I'm like, okay, wow, yeah, I really love them too. So it hasn't just been Comic-Con and a recent thing. I've loved that culture for a long time now.
You know, the sad thing is, I remember where I was when I first heard that Spice Girls song, Wannabe.
Oh my gosh, I totally do too. And I went to a record store and tried to explain the song to them because I didn't know who it was or what the name was. And they were like, what are you talking about? And I was like, the song is so awesome.
I just remember my sis, because I have two younger sisters, and I remember them getting this CD just because my parents wanted them to have like a female, you know, musical presence in some regard. And I remember just sitting in my room listening to this, and after a while I look at my foot like, oh, okay, I guess I really like this song. I guess I'm actually getting into it. I'm not afraid to admit it, though. Not afraid to admit
it. Awesome.
Yeah, anyone who says they didn't listen to Spice Girls back in the mid-90s is obviously a liar. Let's just say that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, again, any other conventions that you go to aside from Comic-Con? Is that the big one? Do you look forward to some other ones?
Yes, Stanley's Kamikaze is the end of October. I'll be going to that. And 2 years ago, I went to Phoenix Comic-Con. That was fun. And then when I lived in San Diego has a couple of small ones, SB Comic Fest and Condor. So I've been to those as well. That's it. And hopefully Denver Comic-Con next year, because that one's pretty big.
Yeah, I hear that one's a lot of fun. Do you, in regards to the Comic-Con, you know, is it the same scenario going from town to town? It's just the same things. Do you have to adapt your strategy at all when you're going from, say, the Phoenix Comic-Con to San Diego to, let's just say, Denver, if you do make it that way next year?
I don't think so. The only thing that changes for me is that I actually have to travel to them, which Phoenix I just drove to, and San Diego was right down the street. So Denver would be probably the first one I will have to fly to, but I have my music maven and my gamer geek live there who write for my blog. And so they'll be my chauffeur for that. I just have to get over there.
You know, you bring up a really interesting point because we live in Southern California. We have all these, you know, great conventions and these great events so close to us that it's driving or a mere walk. And, you know, we have all these people coming from out of town, having to spend money on lodging, the travel and all that stuff. And, you know, now you're experiencing the total flip side of it. And, oh, I have to go out of town and book all the traveling stuff. It's a really interesting concept because, like I said, when I was at E3, I had a couple of friends who came in from out of town, and they were like, oh, yeah, the plane ride, this and that. Like, oh, well, I just 30 minutes drive, boom, I'm here.
I know. I feel bad. But I'm like, oh, especially when I lived in San Diego, I was like, okay, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, time to wake up and drive down, and then you're just there all day. And I felt really lucky that I didn't have to fly and carry all my stuff. Oh, my gosh, I can't imagine bringing all my cosplay stuff with me on a plane. Those people are troopers.
You're sitting there like, yeah, I got a great night's sleep. And these people, oh my God, I'm jet lagged and this and that. Uh-huh. It's like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, to wrap it up, I know you got a lot of stuff going on. Let's one more thing in regards to cosplay. I had this written down. I completely forgot to ask it when we were, you know, talking about that stuff. It's becoming more and more popular nowadays. And there's some really creative people doing some really great things out there. And because, you know, like we talked about with your everyday cosplay, again, for those that are just too shy to break into that, I guess, industry, I don't know if you want to call it an industry just yet, but those who are too shy to break into that, or, you know, those that want to do it, you know, what's the best place to start? Is there like a specific character that they should try out? Should they just go for it, whoever they feel like? How do you feel they should start it?
Yeah, I was definitely nervous when I first started doing it, but I don't even try and compare myself to the actual cosplayers. I'm just doing it for fun, and I would just say you pick a character that you love and do what you love, and everybody else will love it too.
Great advice. I couldn't have said it any better. So people want to go online. They want to find your stuff. They find you interesting to that. They want to follow you on every social media site you possibly can. Where would they go?
I am at the Nerdy Girly with an IE on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, and my blog is thenerdygirly.com.
Man, you really booked it big when you got that name down, didn't you?
I was nervous that I wasn't going to be able to get everything, but I was lucky. Yeah.
it's perfect. It makes sense. It describes you. It's perfect.
Oh, thank you.
No, thank you so much for doing this. I really do appreciate it. Again, you know, for Comic-Con, hopefully we'll cross paths. I'm a little hyped up on caffeine right now. I apologize for talking, you know, doublespeak, but hopefully we'll see each other at Comic-Con. And obviously, hopefully you'll be able to interact with all your hundreds of fans, hundreds and thousands of fans over there as well.
I hope so. Yeah, I definitely see you there.
Thank you so much once again for doing this. Again, go ahead and plug in your website and your social media stuff one more time for us.
Okay, I am Megan Guss, The Nerdy Girly, at www.thenerdygirly.com and at The Nerdy Girly on all the social media sites. Thank you.
Head on over to thenerdygirly.com. That's nerdy with Y and girly with an IE at the end of it, .com. For some more great content such as everyday cosplay, nerd crafts, the Comic-Con survival guide, and more. You can also follow her on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and pretty much every social media site right on down the line. Want to thank her again for coming in on the show. It was a lot of fun and some great tips that I will be sure to apply to my next Comic-Con, which is actually coming up soon. Once again, my name is Steven. Be sure to follow me on Twitter. Be sure to check out geeklegacy.com. Be sure to listen to the Pixelated Podcast as well if you like video games. It's a little show that I host alongside with Justin. We talk about the games. We get in each other's throats. It's a lot of fun. Stay fabulous and keep your controllers charged.